You're in the 06010.
Focus. Fantasy. Fantasy Focus.
It is the Fantasy Focus 06010. It is the off season. My name is Matthew Barry. You may have heard my dulcet tones before. You're probably wondering, where is Field Minister Yates? Where is he? My guess is he is probably putting little baby kisses on Kinley. He is not here. In his stead, Mike Clay, of course, the excellent analyst for us here at Mike Clay NFL on Twitter. Everyone needs to follow him. Secret Squirrel is scurrying around in the background. You there, Secret Squirrel?
I am. I wanted to say this. It's great that Mike could be here. I know he's actually got two daughters and Field only has one. So I appreciate Mike being able to make the time for that.
We could see he was more dedicated. I mean, clearly.
Clearly.
I mean, not for nothing. I have more kids than the two of them combined.
This is true.
I got five and it's a half day today at school, as Mike and I both know, because our children all go to the same school system. So it's a half day today. Had the parent teacher conferences. And so Mike and I are both at home with our children, who can run around and, you know, and talk and scream and get into trouble. You know, it's not like we're sitting there babysitting, you know, an immobile little animal that, you know, just basic. I mean, let's be clear, right? I mean, listen, I've seen the pictures on Instagram. Like, Kinley is adorable. She's a great little kid, but let's be clear. Like, it's a baby in a bassinet. Like, you know, maybe it spits up once in a while, but there's not a lot to do. You change a diaper here and there, but like, I got actual children. Mike Clay has actual children.
This is true.
You know? Right. Yeah,
I mean, you'd kind of nailed it here. I was minutes before we were on here, I was running around the house, planning, putting the kids in the right place so they wouldn't be interrupting, that they're cared for the next hour or so. So you're right. You're exactly right. There's no question. It's different.
It's just, you and I are both very dedicated. And that is even the end of the fact that you and I share custody of Secret Squirrel. You know, like, I think it's your day to watch him today. So, I mean, like, honestly, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to call anyone out, but I will say that, you know, Field's taking the whole, you know, fatherhood thing a little seriously here. All right. The sooner he learns to throw on Disney Plus and shove a bottle in the mouth and leave the room, the better off he'll be.
He's not mailing it in yet. He needs to be mailing it in.
Yeah, 1,000%. Exactly.
When we do his review, you know, is the next contract review, you know, we'll remember this day. It's that simple.
This will absolutely come up. Listen, I have five kids. I don't know if I can name all five of them. You know what I mean? Like, at some point you have to detach yourself.
Listen, as long as you can name second string insurance tight ends, you know, like those top insurance tight ends for fantasy, that's what matters, right? That's dedication.
Right. 1,000%. Like, what is more important, right? My kids' names or Tyler Conklin? I think let's be clear here. All right. So listen, it's been a long time since we've gotten a chance to talk together on air. It's been a crazy, crazy off season for the NFL, crazier than I can ever remember. Because it's not only free agency, we've got a lot of big names, but there's been so much quarterback news. I mean, quarterbacks move the NFL, and I can't remember a year ever that so many big name quarterbacks have changed teams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt about it. It's really unreal. And you know what's funny is last year at this time, maybe last year and a month ago, we thought that was going to be the crazy offseason, right? All the speculation with all of the quarterback movement that we expected, and it really wasn't, right? It didn't live up to that hype. This year absolutely has. And you know, funny enough, the only guy that really wasn't moved, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah,
still on the same team. Everybody else moved, not Aaron Rodgers.
There was uncertainty around Aaron Rodgers, whether he would return to play in the NFL and whether he would return to the Green Bay Packers. Obviously, he's back in Green Bay. Mm-hmm. There was, you know, Tom Brady retired. He came back, but really there were three big name quarterbacks that we thought potentially could trade teams going into this offseason. And when I say big name, I mean big, bold name in terms of fantasy football, not just, you know, fame, because we'll talk about Matt Ryan and here in a second. But the three big names were Aaron Rodgers, who returns to the Green Bay Packers. There had been rumors around Russell Wilson, and that ends up happening. Russell Wilson traded to the Denver Broncos. And the third big name, obviously, was Deshaun Watson. And I'll just say this very quickly. I understand rightfully so, that there's a lot of conversation that should happen around Deshaun Watson, and it should be thoughtful, and the allegations against him are incredibly serious. We are a fantasy football show, and what we are tasked with doing here on the fantasy football show is evaluating a player's potential value in fantasy football. So that's what we're going to do with Deshaun Watson. We do not mean to be dismissive or in any way, undermine the seriousness of that unsympathetic. I mean, like, it's an awkward situation, right? In the sense that, absolutely, you know, it feels really silly to talk about Deshaun Watson's fantasy value without acknowledging everything else that's going on with him. And again, the very serious allegations, 22 of them, in fact, against him. But this is not the show for that. That's not why you're tuning into this. So Mike, let's just dive into Deshaun Watson fantasy football asset, because that's what we've been tasked with by ESPN. He's traded to the Cleveland Browns, 3 first round picks, a number of other picks as well. An insane deal, all of it fully guaranteed. We'll let NFL Live break down what that means for the NFL going forward in terms of, you know, that a quarterback that hasn't played in a year and that has obvious concerns off the field gets that kind of money. Let's just talk about what this means going to a team that is slower in pace and play, at least, you know, previously, that certainly has a much better defense than what we've seen with Watson in Houston. They had a lot of shootouts, obviously, back when he played for the Texans. But Deshaun Watson has been a very good fantasy quarterback when he's been out there. How do you see him as a Cleveland Brown in fantasy football this year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I like how you kind of led that off with the, that offense that he was in Houston, right? Because, yeah, the last time we saw him, he led the NFL in passing yards and was also 6th quarterback in rushing yards. So a big part of that was their situation. I believe they went 4-12 that season. Terrible game scripts for the team, and certainly good ones for Deshaun Watson. They threw the ball 71% of the time. And I think that's important to point out, because you can't just take a 1-to-1 comparison of his stats then and apply them now in a Kevin Stefanski offense. I do expect it to be different. I expect heavier sets. We expect multiple running back sets. And again, you kind of mentioned it, the team is better on paper. In fact, of all the options that he had or that were candidates for trade, this is the best roster top to bottom. So the supporting cast will keep games competitive. Perhaps will limit his second half passing volume, but at the end of the day, this is a quarterback who can still handle plenty of volume and do it efficiently. I mean, he was also 1st in yards per pass attempt and 4th in completion rate the last time we saw him. So he's efficient on top of everything else. And of course, 3 full seasons in the NFL, top 5 in carries among quarterbacks in all of those seasons. So he's going to add plenty of value in that department as well. Look, once he's on the field, he's no doubter a QB1. He is top 5 upside. But of course, the elephant in the room is, will he play the full season, right? We don't know that. So you have to keep that in mind if you're doing best ball drafts. There's a suspension possibility here. We might see some Jacoby Brissett. We don't know any of that yet. So for now, the only thing we can evaluate is what he's going to do when he's in the lineup. And that is, again, probably perform at a top 5 level.
He had 11 different games with 20 or more fantasy points back in 2020. That was tied for the 2nd most among quarterbacks. Right, to your point, he is a dual threat. He goes to Cleveland where he's going to have a good offensive line. He's going to have a really good run game. I don't think there's a better play call in the NFL when it comes to play action than Kevin Stefanski, and they have a strong run game. And, of course, always the threat that Watson can take off with his legs. So I do suspect that he'll be very good fantasy-wise when he's out there. There is risk involved, obviously, with him, that there is a chance potentially of a suspension. But if there is a position in which you might want to take a risk, quarterback would be that thing. Because assuming you're playing in a 1 quarterback league, it is such a deep position this year. Mike, I know you've already done your early ranks. I've done mine as well. It continues to be a crazy deep league. And that's before we even get to seeing if any of the rookies potentially have a starting role. So I have Deshaun Watson currently at QB5. Again, we'll see if there's any fallout in terms of a potential suspension here, but we expect him to perform at a high level fantasy wise as a Cleveland Brown. Worth noting that when he was in Houston, the last time we saw him play, he led the NFL in deep touchdown passes. He had the 2nd most deep completions. He was somebody that had no problem chucking the ball deep and be successful. Obviously, a lot of times with Will Fuller. I mention all this, Mike, because Amari Cooper is now a member of the Cleveland Browns. Mm-hmm. And I certainly think the fantasy prospects for Cooper are a lot better in Cleveland now that Watson is under center rather than Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, 100%. There's no doubt about that. And I wanted to mention that as well, because Cleveland's offensive line is one of the best in the NFL. Their backfield, one of the best in the NFL with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt back. However, the pass catchers are not set yet, right? So if you look at it right now, you're not going to be impressed, right? You're going to see Amari Cooper, fine. You're going to see Donovan Peoples-Jones, who's flashed a little bit, but I think when all is said and done, probably best is a 3 or 4. And then you have Anthony Schwartz, who was a third-round pick last season, right? So that's pretty much the core. Jakeem Grant, Demetric Felton, those kind of guys are in the mix. But I don't think they're done adding. I could see them spend a day, two draft pick on a wide receiver, and really add some help there. So when all is said and done, I think it could be a really, really good offense on paper. Obviously, I should mention tight end David Njoku looks like he'll be the top pass catcher there, perhaps some fantasy value. But I still think things are coming together with the pass catchers. Actually, Jarvis Landry could re-sign. We've heard that speculation as well. Maybe Will Fuller reunion. There's still some things to be sorted out there.
Yeah, exactly. It's a very deep draft for wide receiver. You mentioned they go heavy a lot. It is Stefanski does like two tight ends. And so, you know, obviously Austin Hooper no longer there. He signs with Tennessee. We'll talk about that in a second. But you meant Njoku is still there. Bryant is still there as well. So they'll be involved in the passing game as well. Whatever it's for whatever it's worth. And maybe because I have Anthony Schwartz in the keeper league, the dynasty league, Mike, you and I are in together.
Oh, he's a bust. He's a certified bust.
Along with Secret Squirrel. But Stefanski mentioned from the podium, I put this in my combine comms. Stefanski mentioned from the podium how last year somebody asked him about like what you look for when you're doing the combine interviews. And he mentioned in his press conference at the combine how impressed they were with Anthony Schwartz. That they realized they knew about the world-class speed, obviously. They could see that from the tape. But when they interviewed him and then once again they got him into camp, they were like, his football knowledge is off the charts. I'm paraphrasing here. But just basically, it was quickly clear to us that he understood all three wide receiver positions. We could line up wherever. Later on in kind of a scrum with some of the local reporters in Cleveland, I asked Stefanski point blank about, hey, you mentioned Schwartz. What did you see last year? And he says, listen, we really like him. We think we found something there. Again, I'm paraphrasing, but that he got hurt last year and then he got concussion. So his growth was a little stunted, but they're expecting better things from him this year. Certainly there's a much clearer path to playing time with no Beckham, no Landry there. Mm-hmm. Cooper's obviously going to be the alpha dog here. I think I have Cooper. I think Cooper is a borderline top 20 guy. I had him in the 20 to 30 range, like the 25 range when I thought Baker Mayfield was going to be the quarterback. Now with Watson there, I think you can bump him up to just outside the top 20, somewhere in that 20, 22 range. You know, down year last year, just a 19% target share. I think you could make the argument that as it relates to Cooper's fantasy value, Dak Prescott and Deshaun Watson are pretty much a wash when it comes to quarterback. Both are elite, quarterbacks in the NFL, and he certainly should get a much higher target share on Cleveland than he did in Dallas. Dallas probably a little bit more pass-heavy offense, but you don't trade for Deshaun Watson. You don't trade 3 first-round picks and guarantee him, you know, almost $250 million and say, hey, why don't you hand it off to Nick Chubb every play?
Yeah.
Like, right.
Exactly. And Kevin Stefanski, 4 years as a play caller. One of them was just a couple games for Minnesota that first year. Very run-heavy, right? But we saw a little bit more balance the last 2 years, still run-heavy, but leaning, a little bit more balance compared to his early career. I think it'll be more even now, right? I still think they will. I don't think they're going to be pass heavy. I don't think that's what Stefanski's going to do. I could be wrong, though. But I'm currently projecting it as more of a balanced offense. So the only concern I have with Cooper, though, is, you mentioned the target share should go up. And I do think that it will. 19% is a career low, but it's never been over 23%. And it hasn't been over 21% since 2016. So is that a player problem or is it a Raiders and Cowboys problem? Because it was happening in both places where this guy had so much pedigree and never really got over the hump and saw those big target shares we're used to from other star wide receivers. So I'm curious to see how that plays out, but I'm with you. I think if you can identify him as or land him as a wide receiver 3, I think that's best case scenario. Can he provide wide receiver 2 numbers? Maybe, but also keep this in mind. He's never finished a season higher than 10th. never in his career. So I think he's shown at age 27, he'll be 28 now here in a couple months, kind of a cap ceiling, but can he be a reliable wide receiver three, maybe a two? Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I was, I think in an ideal world, he's your third wide receiver and you feel pretty good about that. But if you're in a 12 team league and you went running back heavy at the top of the draft, you did a tight end, you know, you did Kelsey in the first or second, something like that. You went early at a quarterback. Like, could you live with him as your number two wide receiver in a 12 team league, especially if you went like, again, you got Kelsey or Mark Andrews in the second, something like that. You went, you know, you went running back heavy, something like that. I think you could, but I agree with you. Your ideal is he's your third wide receiver. Good, not great is how I would sort of say, how I would sort of define Amari Cooper as a fantasy asset. I don't think that we have to spend a lot of time on this. I think it's more of a big name and an interesting trade in the NFL than it is fantasy relevant. But Matt Ryan is now a member of the Indianapolis Colts, part of the all the offseason movement, as you mentioned, Watson rumored to go to Atlanta. They delayed paying Ryan the bonus. Once that all fell out, of course, the Colts have an opening in quarterback because Carson Wentz has been traded to my Commanders. I don't know what you think here, Matt, Mike, on Matt Ryan, but I feel like this is sort of a better move for the Colts than it is fantasy-wise. I actually think this is a downgrade for Ryan's fantasy value.
Yeah, because he's going from an offense that at times has allowed him to throw it around the field as often as he wanted, right? He's had plenty of seasons where actually three of the past four seasons, he's been top three in the NFL in pass attempts. And during those 4 years, he has one fantasy finish in the top 10, right? So it just hasn't translated. The heavy volume over the past decade hasn't translated to too much fantasy success. He's had some peaks, right? He has a pair of second place finishes. But six of the past 9 years, he's finished 11th or worse. So I'm with you. He's going from that offense that was kind of freewheeling, bad defense, threw it the ball plenty, to a clearly run-heavy scheme. And that's not going to change with Jonathan Taylor there, right? His main job is going to be to hand it to Jonathan Taylor. And I think the defense will be just good enough to keep them competitive, right? So he's not playing from behind often. It's not a very tough division. I mean, it is the AFC, so there could be some weeks where he's playing from behind. But at the end of the day, I don't think the pass volume is going to be there. And we know the running production is not going to be there. So for me, Matt Ryan, not at mid to back end QB2, you know, not even a guy I'm sniffing as a starter.
No, I think there's, if you're looking in that range, I think there's other guys with like more upside. Like this might sound crazy, but like, I think I'd rather, if I'm in a deeper league and I'm drafting, I think I'd listen, he's solid, but like if I'm drafting a QB2 for upside, like I'd much rather like a guy like Mitch Trubisky and see what happens with him in Pittsburgh than Matt Ryan, who is just like, Matt Ryan is what he is. Like with Trubisky, I see you guys are only hearing audio. Mike is sort of frowning a little bit at my Trubisky suggestion. But here's my argument. That's just a name I pulled out of thin air. But hear me out here for a second, Michael. So, like, I would argue Trubisky, better weapons. I'd much rather Chase Claypool and Deontay Johnson than Michael Pittman and whatever else they have in Indy. We can see if Paris Campbell can finally stay healthy for a year. Zach Pascal, my obsession, Mo Alley Cox. I would much rather have Claypool, Deontay Johnson, and Pat Freiermuth than the collection of talent they have in Indy as pass catchers. I would argue the running game is both, obviously Taylor, Najee Harris, like they're both super strong. And Trubisky adds more with his legs. I mean, we've seen Trubisky, like, again, we have seen bad quarterbacks be fantasy relevant because of the ability they have with their legs. And so the only argument against Trubisky is, do the Steelers draft somebody and he starts 10 games or something like that. But as we sit here today, where his only competition is Mason Rudolph, give me the upside of Trubisky. And if it doesn't work out, you just cut him. But I just, Matt Ryan is much more of a floor play than an upside play in Indy. Here's a guy that was quarterback 26 on a points per game basis last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look, I hear you. Maybe there's some super flex appeal there, but there's two reasons I was kind of shaking my head. First of all, I don't think he's going to start a big chunk of the season. I think they will draft a quarterback. There's, five standout quarterbacks that could go in the first round, certainly first or early second round of the draft. They have to go somewhere. And I do think one of those will go to Pittsburgh in the first round. So that's one. And again, I know that's far off. And the other reason is look, if you're in that position late in your draft and you're looking for a flyer quarterback, you could do better than either of those guys. You know what I mean? You could throw a dart at Fields or Lance or Lawrence or Mac Jones or Zach Wilson or Daniel Jones or Jameis Winston. I think there's a laundry list of better options in 10 and 12 team leagues than even going that deep.
This we do not agree, or this we totally agree on. We do not. I do not disagree with you. There are better options than either guy. I'm just merely saying, just to give you an idea of just how low I am on Matt Ryan, and just that's
fair
what
enough.
I'm saying.
It's like, fair enough.
I would put. Here you go. Sushi bet. And I think I still owe you like two sushis, or maybe you owe me. I forget. We have.
Well,
to,
I mean, you know, I did text you like 2 weeks ago to see if you wanted to get sushi. You didn't answer, so I thought maybe you were. That wasn't going to happen or something.
Oh, no. Really? Did I not? I'm sorry about
you just,
that.
I just didn't answer. So I don't know.
Oh, no. I've been out of town and my phone just, I've been dealing with a lot.
Get you live on the air, just to kind of throw you under the bus.
That's quite all right. It's totally fine. At least I showed up for the podcast, unlike Field or Stefania. So, well, that's what you do when you get attacked. You just throw somebody else under the bus.
That's how it works. Yeah.
Well executed.
Let's move on to running back now. And after kicking the tires with the Patriots, Uncle Lenny is back with the Buccaneers. And I don't think if you did not roster him last year, I don't know if people are aware of how good Leonard Fournette was, especially down the stretch, Mike.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, he basically had the lead back role as a rusher. And he also took the role we thought Gio Bernard was going to have as the passing catch, passing back. That was his job as well. I mean, Fournette was the RB6 in fantasy points. He was fourth in fantasy points per game, but he was only 21st in carries. It's really the passing game where he dominated. He was fourth in routes, third in targets, third in catches, fourth in yards at the running back position. And oh yeah, he was first in drops as well. He struggled as usual, as we expected. He had a lot of drops, wasn't super efficient, but the volume was there. Tom Brady likes having him on the field. And guess what? Tom Brady is back. So I expect a very similar workload to last season. Lots of touchdowns, lots of catches, lots of fantasy production. How do you not rank him as an RB1?
In 14 games, he had 69 receptions last year. I think people would be surprised to hear that number. Mm-hmm. When you think of Leonard Fournette, you don't think of him as an elite pass catching running back, but you're right. That's exactly how they used him. And we've seen it, whether it was, you know, usually James White, but Tom Brady loves his pass catching running backs. And make no mistake, Tom Brady comes back. Like, Leonard Fournette doesn't get this deal. It's a nice deal. It's a 3-year deal. I think $21 million is what I saw. I'll leave the reporting to Field and Shefty, but a 3-year deal, Leonard Fournette doesn't come back unless Tom Brady says, get me Uncle Lenny. So I agree with you. You don't get on the field if Brady doesn't want you there. He's back. And it'd be interesting to see where he goes in drafts, because he's somebody that has struggled with injuries throughout his career. He is somebody that has had an up and down fantasy career, but he was really good last year. Buccaneers have Tom Brady back. I think, you know, he's easily a top 15 running back. And if you took him inside the top 12 or 10, I certainly get it. I wouldn't look at you weird. Like, he was that good, because they will be in scoring position early and often with Thomas Brady under center.
Matthew, this one I ask you a question about this next one? Because as a Chris Carson truther, seeing Rashad Penny sign with the Seahawks after he finished the season so strong last year, that finish is part of what makes this difficult. How both of you guys, but Matthew, I'm just curious for you. How are you looking at Rashad Penny, knowing that you still love Chris Carson too, as a running back?
I do love Chris Carson. I'm a Chris Carson truther. I'm a defender. I'm a fan. I'm president of the fan club. And I'm looking at Rashad Penny with disdain and a mild hatred, only because of my love for Chris Carson. Not that it's nothing that Rashad Penny did. Over the final four games, he was the number one running back in fantasy. 21.3 fantasy points per game, over 120 rushing yards a game. He got 18 and a half touches a game, averaged 6.2 yards per carry, which was high in the NFL over that stretch. Like, he was nothing short of spectacular. From weeks 14 on, helped a lot of people win their championships. Was Amon-Ra St. Brown like in his finish to the season?
Yep.
What I think is okay here is it's exciting because they bring back Penny, but I think they're going to let Carson play quarterback. So it's fine. I think both guys are going to be on the field at the same time,
like a full time Wildcat situation. You're thinking,
yeah,
might as well.
Yeah, they got no one else to throw the ball. They're going to snap it to each one of them. Look, I really should turn it over to Mike Clay because, you know, Mike and I have been friends for a long time. We've worked together for a long time. And when you've been friends and worked together for a long time, you remember things like no one loved Rashad Penny more his rookie year than Michael Clay. Michael Clay has long been a Rashad Penny truther. So we're at odds on this one. I feels like this is a committee. Pete Carroll's always been a committee guy. The fact that they bring him back, it's a one-year deal. So it's like, whatever, it's a little bit of a prove-it deal, but they have money to Carson. Feels like, especially given the questions at quarterback, it's just going to be a running back committee and maybe a hot hand approach here. But how do you see this backfield playing out?
Yeah. So, well, first of all, I was president of the Chris Carson fan club before it was cool. I mean, he was my favorite draft prospect the year he came in. So you're right. I love Penny, but I love Carson too. I pretty much like any running back that Seattle goes on to acquire. I don't know what it is. Me and Pete or John Schneider are on the same page as running backs go, but nonetheless,
that's why you're wearing your Travis Homer t-shirt right now.
That's exactly right. I liked Homer as well, but I do have a Carson jersey over my shoulder here. So I'm with you there. Love Chris Carson. He's been fantastic, but I don't think you put, much like Amon-Ra St. Brown, the same comparison you just made, I don't think you could put that genie back in the bottle, you know, after he played so well down the stretch. And by the way, that's not new. Rashad Penny at the pro level has been fantastic whenever he has played. He just hasn't had a lot of opportunity because he misses so much time. He comes back. They already have established starters like a Chris Carson, and he didn't have a lot of opportunity. Well, he got it last year, and he was, as you mentioned, terrific. And one thing that bothers me a little bit about Carson is Penny, they're paying him, yes, it's just a one-year deal, but $5.75 million could be up to $6.5 million. I mean, that's a pretty decent chunk for a guy. You know, they obviously aren't giving him the vet minimum. They're bringing him in, paying him a decent amount of money to be an impact offensive player. So I agree. I expect a committee. I expect some missed games. And by the way, I expect this to be a bad offense, right? Without a good quarterback, which is going to limit scoring opportunities. So I have major concerns. And one more thing here, Rashad Penny, 119 carries last season, right? 8 targets, a non-factor as a pass catcher. Maybe that changes a little bit, but I don't think it'll be a substantial change enough to make him an asset as a pass catcher. That could limit him when his rushing inevitably comes back to earth a little bit. So again, I don't think I'm going to be too excited to draft either of these guys.
If you had to pick one, who are you going to have ranked higher?
Oh my goodness. That's a good question. We need some quotes. We need some information. I would lean toward Carson because at times he has been more involved as a pass catcher and we know he's a reliable rusher when he's healthy. So I will give an edge to Chris Carson. But it's close. It really is.
Yeah, I would agree with you that. I was going to say, I mean, what's weird is it's probably going to be whether it's Travis Homer or DJ Dallas. Like, that'll probably be who the third down back is. But they have been involving Carson more and more year after year in the passing game. And so Carson, who's such a good finisher at the goal line, I feel like, and Penny was great down the stretch, but I do feel like Carson probably has a little bit more touchdown equity and a little bit more upside in the passing game. So I would lean Carson over Penny as well. But feels like a situation to avoid or something that you're just doing for depth. You don't want to go into a season with either of those guys as your starter. I know what you're out there thinking. You're thinking, wow, Mike Clay sounds pretty smart. Bet that guy's got some good insights that I could read about. Well, here's how you read about all of his stuff. You do it with a subscription to ESPN Plus. You're like, wow, man, ESPN Plus, I'd love to subscribe to that, but I'm looking for the best bargain. Well, have I got the deal for you? Because my rotopass.com gets you not only 12 months of ESPN Plus, but 5 other great sites as well. So you can read all of Mike's stuff. You can read all of my stuff. You can see the fantasy show with myself, Daniel, and Mike as well. You can do a bunch of different things. ESPN Plus is great. You can read all field stuff, Stefania stuff, Eric, Tristan, everything you need, all the sports, of course. If you're prepping for fantasy baseball right now, ESPN Plus has you covered. But what's great is whether you're doing best ball, whether you do dynasty, 12 months of rotopass.com gets you not only ESPN Plus, but again, 5 of the great sites with all the tools, customized ranks you need, no matter what you play. It's 12 months from whenever you sign up. So you can sign up now and you'll be set all for the offseason as things happen. Again, if you get into best ball or dynasty, it's a great asset as well. Rotopass.com, please check it out. All right. For all the craziness that's happened in the NFL, Mike, I don't think anyone, you know, we thought there might be a chance that Russell Wilson would get traded. We thought there'd be a chance that Deshaun Watson would get traded. I don't think anyone thought there was a chance Davante Adams would be traded. But that's exactly what happened, as he is now a member of the Las Vegas Raiders. He's reunited with his college quarterback and Derek Carr, just a couple of days after Aaron Rodgers finalizes his 3-year, $150 million deal, the Packers are like, yeah, listen, you don't have anyone to throw to. Let's talk about Davante Adams and your thoughts on him going to the Raiders. And then I want to touch briefly on what this means for Rodgers. We'll start with Adams, though.
Yeah, so, and this is essentially what I tweeted, and it was kind of funny because this tweet had mixed reaction to it, both ways, both directions. So it seems like maybe I'm on the right path here, since people were so strongly thought I was too low and too high. But look, the situation is he's going to Derek Carr, who is a good underrated quarterback, but he's also not Aaron Rodgers. He doesn't have that pinpoint deep accuracy, and you know, as part of that, it's not going to be as good of an offense, right? It might be a step up. You know, you add Adams, you have Renfro, Waller, you could go on. You have Derek Carr. They're probably going to score about 3 touchdowns a game. That's good. It's also, but it's not the Packers offense that has been scoring 3.5-4 touchdowns a game. And he's not going to see quite the target share, most likely for a variety of reasons, including the fact that Rodgers just force-fed him the ball at an enormous rate that is almost impossible to project going forward. Had he stayed with Rodgers, fine, he could stick in the 32% range, which is extremely high. Now that he's switching teams, it's not really a strong projection going forward to roll with the number that high. It's just not, even if it's close, that high is enormous. And the other reason really is, I think the supporting cast other than Adams is better, right? You have Darren Waller, who's going to demand his share of targets. You have Hunter Renfro, who efficiency-wise has been almost identical to Adams over the past 3 years since he's been in the league. He's been really efficient in a different role. So they have other mouths to feed there. I think that'll limit his volume a little bit. But again, when all is said and done, still going to be a good offense, still a good quarterback, still a big target share. It's going to be a step down. But can he get enough work and enough production here to be a wide receiver one? Absolutely. I still think he's a wide receiver one.
I agree with everything you just said. 31% target share last year, as you mentioned, he's had 3 straight years with over a 30% target share. Just don't see him getting that with the Raiders. It is a downgrade from Rodgers to Carr. We agree there. Listen, part of this is the offense, but you know, to your point, right? Last year, the Packers had 40 more pass attempts in the red zone than the Raiders did. Like, just will they be in scoring opportunity as much as possible? And again, like, how many cheap touchdowns would Adams get from Rodgers where it was just like, you know, mm-hmm. they're on the 3-yard line. It was just like, you know, quick. And like he runs a quick out and just right. Like whether it's a back shoulder or just a little slant or whatever, like him and Adams just had like 3 or 4 plays that Rodgers could just look at him and Adams would know what he was doing and boom, cheap touchdown. And you couldn't do anything about it. So he was prior to the trade. He was my number one wide receiver in fantasy. He is now my wide receiver 4 in fantasy. So obviously, still one of the best in the NFL from a pure talent standpoint, still going to get his, but yes, less target share, worse quarterback. It is certainly a downgrade for Adams. Matthew, what do you do with Aaron?
Yeah. At 4, you've got, does that mean you've got Cooper Kupp, Jamar Chase, and Justin Jefferson ahead of him?
That is correct.
That's the order. Okay. All right.
Yeah. So I still have him ahead of Tyreek Hill. I still have him ahead of Stephon Diggs.
Stephon Diggs. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
That's where I have him right now. Like, we'll see what, you know, but like,
yeah, that feels about right. That makes sense.
Because again, like while Carr won't force feed Adams the way Rodgers did, he's still going to get a massive target. He's still one of the best, if not the best wide receiver in the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
There is a, you know, and Carr was heavily recruiting him. They are, in addition to having played college football, both have been very open about how close they are as friends. Like they have remained very close friends throughout their NFL career. So this isn't just a like, oh yeah, I remember that guy. This is a, you know, there is a reason why Adams is in Las Vegas with Derek Carr. Let's move on to another big wide receiver. Like, hallelujah, free Allen Robinson is no longer a thing as he's escaped the Justin Fields, Andy Dalton, Nick Foles, Blake Bortles era of his past to finally play with a real quarterback. Matthew Stafford is his guy. He's somebody that was a top 10 wide receiver fantasy-wise in 2019 and 2020, fell off last year, averaging under 35 receiving yards per game. He was brutal last year. He's usually been quarterback proof, but now I guess the Rams see something here and they make room for him by sending Robert Woods to the Titans. We can talk about that move in a second here, Mike, but your thoughts on Allen Robinson signing with the Rams?
Yeah, kind of mixed feelings here, right? I like the upgrade in situation. Obviously, Sean McVay is brilliant. He's going to do his best to maximize Robinson in this offense, but You know, he's also entering his age 29 season, coming off the worst year of his career in terms of his, you know, his play. Obviously, 2017, he got hurt, missed the whole season, but the play wasn't there. And look, I know it's easy to say, well, it's just it was just a horrible situation, you know, and I get it. It was, but it was a horrible situation for Darnell Mooney, too, who and he had a tremendous season in the same situation last year in Chicago. Robinson was a non-factor. So that bothers me a little bit. Perhaps he, you know, I don't want to say he checked out, but, you know, maybe it just wasn't happening there. You know, your DJ Chark makes similar comments getting out of Jacksonville and moving on to Detroit. Maybe the light will come back on. But on the other hand, is he, you know, the next 2021 Julio Jones or Alshon Jeffrey late in his career? You know, is it over? You know, is he done as a dominant fantasy player and reliable, consistent target? It's a possibility. So I think you have to consider both sides of this when evaluating him. I don't know that I'll be drafting him a ton. And I will add this right now, like him more than I think I'm going to like him in a couple weeks, because I think with Robert Woods traded, I think that's a message that Odell Beckham will be back on that Rams roster.
I think you're right. And don't forget, they like Van Jefferson. Like Van Jefferson's a nice young player. And so Sean McVay's a player's coach, but you know, Kupp's going to get his. I agree with you. I think Allen Robinson is like a wide receiver four. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I think he's probably a bigger name than production. And again, it's similar to what we said with sort of Matt Ryan, like probably a better signing for the Rams than it is for fantasy football. Wouldn't surprise me if he had a great year and was sort of rejuvenated in LA, Super Bowl champs. Stafford doesn't have to, you know, Cooper Kupp's going to demand a lot of attention. And obviously, and especially then if you got Beckham, but wide receiver four for me. Let's talk about the Titans now. Tighten up. As Robert Woods goes to Tennessee, along with Austin Hooper, as we mentioned, he signs with the Titans. So a couple of new weapons for Ryan Tannehill. Your thoughts on, let's start with Woods. This has got to be a downgrade.
Yeah, no question about it. Again, going from that terrific situation with the Rams where, yeah, he was kind of quiet out of the gate early last season, but then, you know, they kind of got the message. We got to get this guy the ball more often. Matthew Stafford didn't really have much chemistry there out of the gate, but they got that sorted pretty quickly. And then he kind of took off. He was right back well on his way to what would have been, I believe, his third or fourth straight top 15 fantasy season before, of course, that injury. Now he goes to the run heaviest offense in the NFL. And by the way, the run heaviest offense in the NFL, even without Derrick Henry. So that's not good. That's not good at all. He's again, closing in on age 30. He's coming off a severe injury. You know, when he's healthy and he's out there, He'll see a decent 20% target share or so, maybe a little higher if AJ Brown's out, but that's a 20% target share. And that offense isn't the same as it is in a Rams offense or a pass heavy offense. So I think his days as a top 15 option are over. I'm definitely going to be down on him. I think very much like Allen Robinson, he's going to be more of a flex option.
I would agree. 13 games. There's been 13 games in which AJ Brown played. The top producing in the 13 games that A.J. Brown played, let me say this correctly. In the 13 games that A.J. Brown played, the top producing non-A.J. Brown pass catcher averaged 12.6 fantasy points per game in this Titans offense, right? Mm-hmm. Last year, Terry McLaurin, guy I know well, averaged 12.6 fantasy points per game. He's wide receiver 31. Maybe there's a little bit more touchdown equity for Woods than there was for McLaurin, who once again did not have a great touchdown year, but whatever. You know, like,
Robert at least Woods, the Titans always throw a whole lot, right, Matthew? I mean, their pass rate is super high. Is that correct?
Exactly. That's what Mike's saying. Is like it's a run. It's a super run heavy offense. That center, you know, that offense is centered around their run game, whether Derrick Henry's in there or not. AJ Brown, you know, is going to get his. Austin Hooper is an upgrade for them at tight end, which is nice. But again, that's more target share. That's not going to Robert Woods. He's a guy that, you know, when he was in LA, was always a top 15 wide receiver. I think now he's a borderline top 25 guy and probably closer to somewhere in the 25 to 30 range than top 25. Merely a wide receiver three for me. And wouldn't be surprised if he winds up, you know, a year from now, we're talking about him. He was a high end wide receiver four.
One quick nugget on this, just to think about, you know, I mentioned the ages of Allen Robinson and Robert Woods. So it's a good time to mention this. They're both going into their age 29 season. Actually, age 30 for Woods. Last year, you look at the top 25 scoring fantasy receivers, only one opened the season at 29 years old. That was Keenan Allen. everyone else 28 or younger. I mean, once you get to that point, it's really hard to deliver. We've seen this consistently over the past few years. So, you know, that bothers me as well.
As well it should. Austin Hooper signing with the Titans. I thought it was a nice signing for Tennessee, who have really struggled at that position ever since, honestly, I feel like since Delanie Walker retired. Like, you know, they got some moments out of Jonnu Smith, but I feel like they haven't really had a consistent fantasy presence at tight end since Delanie Walker. Hooper's a nice player, wasn't a fit in Cleveland. This is a guy who was a former number one tight end in fantasy. Is he potentially a sleeper at tight end, Mike? Or no?
Maybe a little bit. I mean, like you said, 2 years in Atlanta, he was finished sixth in back-to-back years, and he actually missed some games the second year. So we've seen it before, but you know, the fact that he didn't work out in Cleveland, they were willing to move on and franchise tag David Njoku. I don't know. I think he's probably past those days of being a clear tight end one. I view him as a mid-range tight end too, maybe a pinch lower than that.
Yeah, I think that's fair as streamer. But, you know, like that, like, you know, wouldn't shock you if, you know, he suddenly had a lot of touchdowns, just had one of those kind of years. All right, real quickly, a couple last-minute signings. Save your TikTok jokes, but Juju Smith-Schuster is now a member of the Kansas City Chiefs. It has been we know Juju's a talented player, but I can't remember the last time there was a productive non-Tyreek Hill, non-Travis Kelce pass catcher in Kansas City.
Yeah, that's totally fair, but I also don't think they've ever had a player this good in that spot. You could say Sammy Watkins, but he was always hurt, right? He couldn't stay on the field, yeah. And maybe that can be a criticism of Smith-Schuster, but, you know, he's been kind of yo-yoing back and forth. I mean, as recently as 2020, he had 97 catches, over 800 yards, and a career-high 9 touchdowns. The guy's only 25, and I have a hard time getting past his insane production at age 20 and 21 in the NFL, over 2,000 yards and 14 touchdowns in his first 2 years, again, at 20 and 21. I don't know how that talent just dissipates. You know, by all accounts, he'll be healthy at age 25 this season, a humongous upgrade from Big Ben to Patrick Mahomes. I think he's going to prove to be a weekly fantasy starter, at least a wide receiver 3.
And I think one other positive here is that you would expect, or you would at least hope, that Andy Reid, who's one of the most, Andy Reid and his staff, Eric Bieniemy, of course, as well. The Chiefs are one of the most creative play calling teams in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Juju Smith-Schuster, weirdly, the last 2 years has been sort of relegated to this, like this possession receiver slot guy. Like, you're like, where's the big play guy we saw early in his career? Like, it was super weird how they used Juju Smith-Schuster, and whether it was because Ben can't throw it deep anymore, they already had Diontae Johnson, or there was just a disconnect between the coordinator and Ben or in Juju or whatever. Just feels like the kind of routes that he was running the last 2 years feels like they expand his route tree, because we know he can do it. We've seen it, Mike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, his average depth of target plummeted the last 2 seasons, plummeted way down from his first 3 years. So there's no doubt I expect those numbers to go up. And you're exactly right. Tyreek Hill, one of the reasons I never write about him in receiver corner, my column every week, is because you can't match up with him. He lines up all over the formation, in the slot, outside, and he's all over the place. And I fully expect him to do the same thing with Smith-Schuster. So I'm with you. More vertical work, touchdown opportunities, big play opportunities. They have Kelce and Hill, so he's going to be running open at times. He's not going to demand number one corners. Plenty of reason for optimism here, I think.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And look, I say this to everyone. I say, especially to my friends that are younger and looking for love. Find someone who looks at you the way that I look at Mo Alley Cox. You know, the Field and Daniel love to make fun of me for my obsession with tight ends and obscure tight ends. But Jack Doyle retires, and I know they have Kylan Granson, right? Am I pronouncing mm-hmm. his name right? I know. And they like him. They like him. Fourth round rookie, I believe, last year. I have him in our dynasty league as well. But I've always been obsessed with Mo Alley Cox, who, you know, has always seemed to produce when he gets a chance. Since 2018, he's fifth among tight ends in fantasy points per target, minimum 100 targets. He doesn't get a ton of targets, but he's just a massive human being. And when he has gotten targets, he has produced. He's had a couple of big games over the years. Anything here with Mo Alley Cox? Am I crazy? Especially since, you know, Gerald Everett's now with the Chargers, and so my Donald Parham love has to wait for another year at least. Yeah, anything here with Mo Alley?
look, once you get to like tight end 13 or 14, the next like 20 are the same guy, you know?
Yeah, that's
so if you've won your last picks in a 12 team league and you want to throw a flyer at Mo Alley Cox, go for it. Maybe Matt Ryan will like him and want to throw him the football a lot. Who knows? But I don't, you know, he hasn't really broken out yet. He's had opportunities, whether it's been with or without Jack Doyle, hasn't happened. So, I don't think they're done. I think they're going to add another tight end. I don't know if it'll be a veteran or they'll draft someone else. They might not draft one since they spent a fourth last year, but there will be more competition there. So, and by the way, he's 28, right? So it would be kind of a late breakout. Although, on the other hand, we've seen late breakouts the last few years at tight end, right? We've seen it. Logan Thomas and Gary Barnage, and there's been a hand, Darren Waller, there's been a handful. So I have no major qualms with liking him as a sleeper. I won't be reaching on him too often, though, I don't think.
I definitely wouldn't reach on him, and they may, but, you know, listen, if ever there was an opportunity for Mo Alley Cox, it's right now before they sign anyone, you know, and with Matt Ryan there. Worth noting that Colts tight ends overall had an almost 20% target share, 19.8%. We have seen Frank Reich use tight ends, whether it was when he was in Philadelphia or obviously with the Colts. So he uses multiple tight ends, but if Mo Alley can get a significant snap share, it could be interesting. I believe he's 7'7". As long as we're talking obscure tight ends very quickly, Ricky Seals-Jones, Evan Engram signs with the Jaguars. We talked about that in an earlier show, but Ricky Seals-Jones, former Commander, is now signing with the Giants, and with Brian Daboll there under center, and given all the injuries those pass catchers have had, Kyle Rudolph was let go. There's a chance Ricky Seals-Jones is the starting tight end of the New York Football Giants this year.
I don't think so. They're not done there. I am vehemently anti Ricky Seals-Jones. I don't get what's going on there. It's not happening.
He's got three first names. Why do you hate Ricky Seals-Jones?
He does. It's a good name.
Whose first name is Seals?
Seal.
Well, Seal, the singer.
Oh, okay.
And now there's another Seal. So now the Seals.
Okay, sure.
Right, because you already have Seal, and then now here's Ricky Seals because he's a plural.
It's the plural. Obviously. I understand. Obviously. Yeah, that makes sense.
Don't draft Ricky Seals-Jones. You're welcome.
Daniel, do you need a kiss from a rose? Is that what you need?
Who doesn't need a kiss from a rose, man?
All right. There you go. That's all I'm asking. Oh, and by the way, OJ Howard's signed with the Bills, but whatever. This is a
Dawson topic.
Yeah, exactly. This is a Dawson Knox podcast. I think that's all I got. Anything for you, Michael? Are you excited about how your Philadelphia Eagles have attacked the offseason?
They haven't been too busy, so we'll see. They did sign your guy, Zach Pascal, you mentioned before, so that's a sensible Nick Sirianni connection. Hassan Reddick, yep. Huge addition on defense, like it. But, I hate to say it, my friend. I think your Washington Commanders are looking pretty good. I mean, that defensive line still looks so good, and, I mean, they were very hurt last year. I don't think people realize how beat up they were. They still have a ton of talent. Carson Wentz is good enough, I think, to get them – possibly to the top of that division. I think it's Dallas and Washington are the best two teams in that division right now. Eagles just behind.
So I was going to ask you your thoughts on Wentz as a hardcore Philadelphia homer. I will say this. I mean, you texted me about sushi, but you did not text me, ha 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 ha, good luck, which is a text I got from a lot of my friends that are Eagles and Colts fans. What am I in for with Carson Wentz?
Yeah, see, again, kind of mixed with this guy because on field, he's been fine, right? He had 27 touchdowns and 7 picks last year. He had that team humming. The Colts were the best team in the NFL for about 4 or 5 weeks. You know, before that collapse at the end of the season, they were rolling. He was playing well, and he's had his ups and downs. And by the way, if you look at pretty much any efficiency stat across the industry, he shows pretty well, top 10, top 12. The problem seems to be behind the scenes, right? So, will he gel with this team? Will he be a leader, or is there going to be constant internal problems that crept up with Philly and Indianapolis? Obviously, if those aren't an issue, he definitely could lead this team to the playoffs. Because I do think he has the talent on field, even if he's a little volatile.
Fair enough. But you listen, it's damning with faint praise, but the truth is that Carson Wentz is the best quarterback Washington has had in a number of years.
Right.
They went to the playoffs with a combination of Kyle Allen, Alex Smith, and Dwayne Haskins. Mm-hmm. And Taylor Heinicke is gutty and a lot of fun, but Carson Wentz is a better quarterback than Taylor Heinicke. Taylor Heinicke gets the most out of what God has given him talent wise. He really does, but just you know, there's certain guys that just can throw it farther. They can throw it more accurate. Like Taylor Heinicke's a really good backup in the NFL.
But no doubt about it. And again, the defense is what needs to be healthy and fixed. That was the major problem last year, right? If the defense didn't completely everyone get injured and it fell apart, they might have been hanging right in more games, you know? So if that's fixed and that's healthy and Wentz doesn't fall apart and he plays competent football, even average football, they'll definitely be fine.
The only other signing I want to mention here real quickly is not super fantasy relevant, but kind of fantasy relevant, which is that the Cincinnati Bengals have completely revamped that offensive line. So I mean, they're unsexy signings, you know, for fantasy because you don't really, you're not paying attention. It's just a, you know, a bunch of big guys, but you know, they got Collins. I mean, they got Cap. I mean, like it's going to be a completely different offensive line, which is really exciting for anyone that's investing in Burrow or Mixon or Chase or Higgins or even Boyd.
Yeah, so this is a great way to sign off because I want to give a shout out to the professor, John Clayton.
Oh, yeah.
We lost him over the weekend. Obviously, that's terrible. He's one of the best to ever do it. But, you know, one of my big takeaways from the excellent article Mike Sando wrote, our former colleague, was about how John Clayton was so committed to just keeping updated rosters all the time, right? Just every transaction, date of birth, everything. And that spoke to me because I am the same kind of nerd, if you will, right? I do the same thing. And I mention that because if you're constantly doing that year round, updating rosters and looking at where a team's weak and strong, when you see a team go into free agency with a massive roster hole and then they attack it aggressively to fill that hole, there's nothing that can reshape a team quickly than that. And you love to watch the transition. So I'm with you 100%. Jonah Williams, Ted Karras, Alex Kappa, Lyle Collins, maybe Jackson Carmen, the second rounder last year, that could be one of the league's better offensive lines rather than maybe the worst one in the NFL last season. So I'm with you. Loved watching that kind of come together. And they've done a beautiful job this offseason.
They really have. And thank you for bringing up John Clayton. Mike Sanders' article is in The Athletic, so certainly check that out whenever you get a chance. Sanders is a great writer and did a wonderful job there. When I first came to ESPN, not everyone was a fan of fantasy football. Not everyone embraced me and my role, but John Clayton was not one of those. Here was this kind of, you know, veteran, legendary NFL reporter, and he could not have been kinder or more welcoming or how can I help? I remember early in the days, this is pre-Twitter, really. You know, I joined ESPN in 2007. Twitter didn't really start till 2009, and it didn't become a, quote, thing until a couple years later. So John Clayton was always in charge of, like, the inactives. That was one of the things he did when he first got here, is just like calling all the press boxes and learning who the inactives were. It wasn't just tweeted out the way it is now. So you sort of had to scramble to kind of find out who was active and who was not on game day. And John Clayton could not have been more happy to text you or email you when an inactive came out, or, hey, I'm hearing this guy isn't going to start, and included fantasy, you know, in his email distribution, which I know that sounds like, really, that a big deal? Believe it or not, back then it was, because not everyone did that. And anyway, I think you saw the fact that he was trending, and you saw so many people say so many kind things and have heartfelt, great things to say about the professor, John Clayton, who I think we can all agree was the star of the best SportsCenter commercial of all time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
So our rest in peace, Professor. Rest in peace, John Clayton. Much love from everyone here at the 06010. To his family and his many, many friends and fans around the world. Michael, good job as always. Secret Squirrel, you were fine. You didn't gum up the process, so congratulations to you on that. Yes. For at Daniel Dopp and Mike Clay, at Mike Clay NFL, I am at Matthew Berry TMR on all forms of social media, except on the Fantasy Life app, where I'm merely at Matthew Berry. We will be back next week with another recap of, you know, whatever free agency nuts have happened. There's still a lot of players out there ready to sign. So until then, peace out.
He's a NASCAR guy with a base to try, a Langford fan for life. Chargers are off to a terrible start, but that won't change his mind. Matching up all the cornerbacks, touchdown regression and weekly stats. But if your team falls flat, he's the one to blame. He's a brainiac on the case.
projections that can put us in first place. He's a Brainiac, Brainiac, he's Mike Clay.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.